The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, producer Andrew, Tyler Boyer, Jack Posobiec, and of course, yours truly. We talk about Oliver Anthony, COVID 2.0, the Trump mugshot, and a very special deep web reveal. Listen to the end of this episode for a special giveaway opportunity. And I encourage all of you to get involved with Turning Point USA. That is tpusa.com. We have some very exciting campus tour stops coming up this fall. We have AmFest coming at amfest.com, America Fest in Phoenix, Arizona. Start a high school or college chapter to join our nationwide educational movement at tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is making hope happen on the front lines, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Also, consider becoming a member of our program. You could do that at charliekirk.com and follow the cues. It's affordable for all income levels. We are adding exclusive interviews, ad-free episodes, and more. That is charliekirk.com. And click on that member button and follow the cues. I love hearing from all of you, so email me freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, everybody, welcome to Thought Crimes. Today we have Tyler Boyer. Tyler, welcome.
Hey, what's up, Charlie?
Andrew Colvett.
Hello,
and
hello.
Jack Posobiec, as always, co-chairing.
Yo.
Somebody asked me, they said, Charlie, how do you best describe Thought Crimes? I said, it's basically a group chat that became a podcast. And Jack, how many group chats are we in together now? I think at least 10.
At least 10 that are avowed. There are several others of which we do not speak.
The lead we are going to talk about is the Trump mugshot. Jack, are these people really that stupid that they needed to have a mugshot of the most photographed man in the last 100 years?
Well, Charlie, I mean, of course, that's a more existential question as to whether or not communists actually are people. So, you know, speaking as a guy of Polish descent, you know, the jury's still out on that one. But when it really comes down to it, of course, only Fannie Willis would have such a sub-room temperature IQ that she would actually allow this powerful, energetic, nuclear WMD of mimetic warfare to be placed into Trump's hands. I think it already goes without saying that this is the most viewed photo probably of the last 50 years. This is the most iconic American photo since World War II.
Tyler. Yeah.
Joseph Stalin used to make people disappear from pictures. He didn't put them in pictures. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, do we have the fading Joseph Stalin picture, Ryan, of his comrades on the boat? It's one of my favorite. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
No, where he kind of starts with a pack of comrades, and it's just
each, it's like the original.
Years go by, and they get it. But here's the reason. So the Marxists are like rolling in their graves because they're like, you're doing this all wrong. You're not supposed to take pictures of them and circulate them. You're supposed to make them disappear.
That's exactly right. So what is it then? I mean, Andrew or Jack or Tyler, I mean, I think Joy Reid and the anti-white cabal at MSNBC, I think they showed us that this is just pure spectacle. They hate him so much that they wanted to. Do we have the Stalin picture, Ryan? How quickly can we throw that up there? We're throwing it up? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there it is. Look, Stalin is. And his buddies. Stalin with Tolstoy? No, not yeah, Trotsky. Not yeah. Stalin with Trotsky? Yeah, not Tolstoy. Trotsky. Stalin
before.
Stalin with Tukhachevsky, and then it's just Stalin.
You're supposed to make people vanish. Yeah, you're not at the front of
not turn them Brodsky into
didn't
martyrs.
Just get vanished. Brodsky fled to Mexico,
Mexico City,
and was later
baby,
assassinated by a Spanish. No, an ice pick.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Spanish assassin with an ice pick.
The Trotsky story is super interesting. If you ever want to,
you're thinking of World War I with the bomb.
Yeah. Well, Trotsky. There's a great story. Trotsky was in an American prison in New York and was released by the American government, got stopped in Halifax, Canada, on the way on a CIA, then OSS operation to then put Trotsky and Lenin together to...
This is before the revolution.
This was after the... What was the revolution? The Red Revolution in 1907? Because there was one that failed in the early
1900s. There were a couple failed uprights.
Yeah, and then this was before the successful
1905.
Red Revolution, I think it was called.
As communists. Our communists should be kicked out of a country, which they were.
Yep. Yes. And then we the West brought them back in with $6 million of gold of Lenin out of a prison, on a train.
The West helped them.
What's amazing.
I was like, oh, you guys are so smart.
Regime change.
Why don't you go back?
It was underwritten.
What could go wrong with regime change? What could go wrong?
Underwritten by the Rockefellers, but that's a separate issue. No, it's totally factual. Totally. It's totally true. As documented in a book, None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, which if you don't want to sleep, read that before bed. However, Andrew, what are these people thinking here? You're the PR mind here. Were they thinking, because they've now turned this into a symbol that really has the most, the most unusual groups of people, from internet memers to black rappers to just people in the middle, that are now more sympathizing towards Donald Trump as a cultural figure, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer to that question, Charlie, is twofold. One, I think they're just bloodthirsty. I think that they have wanted this so much for so long. I mean, there was that one clip that we played during the show, Charlie, about Joy Reid saying Alvin Bragg was a coward, Jack Smith was a coward. These guys were cowards for not doing it, right? I mean, if you go back to the idea of what a mugshot is supposed to be, it's they might flee. Therefore, you need to know what they look like really recently, right? So that's the original rationale for having a mugshot. Joy Reid basically says Fannie Willis is a national hero. For, and I know it's Fanny, but I prefer Fanny. She's a national
Big
hero
Fanny
for actually making him do this picture, right? So they are so bloodthirsty. They're blinded by their own bloodlust to get this man in the most humiliating posture that they can imagine, which is a mugshot. And, you know, I think there's also something to be said when Joy Reid is talking about this. She's saying, listen, Trump represented this rich white man from Manhattan that I grew up despising. And he hated black people, and he made us go get our own mugshots. So now it's your turn, buddy. So I think it's like that's the first piece, that it's bloodlust for getting him to be humiliated. Secondly, however, and you shared this article around, Charlie, earlier today. I don't, we don't have the graphic here, but it's the Wall Street Journal, and I think it was Karl Rove. You shared it around today. Their idea is that they don't care if we turn it into an iconic image. Because they think that when we get into the general and you look at the schedule of all the trials coming down, that, you know, he lost 6% of Republicans in 2020 and he won like 48 or 49% of independent. They are making the calculation that as each and every one of these trials play out and they get exposed to the damning evidence of Trump's guilt, that he's slowly going to bleed more Republicans and he's slowly going to bleed more independents. And so they're just basically saying, we want the picture. We want him to be humiliated. We don't care if you run with it for a little while. Maybe we underestimated how much you would like the image. But thirdly, we still get our trials. We still get to go through the entire catwalk of embarrassing Trump during the general election.
Yep.
And we're
yep,
still
yep,
going to
yep.
win.
Yeah. So I think you're spot on, Andrew. I don't think this is rooted in reason or rationality. It's revenge. It's bloodlust. Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that is most important for all of us to focus on is that they have to do all of this, right? This is a coordinated effort because Trump was exactly right about Biden when he called them out for all the Ukraine stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they impeached
That's
him.
Why they impeached
That's
him.
That's why they impeached yeah. him. And so all of this is just a continuation. So your first question was like, all this hubbub, the circus, like this is just becoming more and more apparent as a circus. Their bet is like, again, Alinskyite type stuff, right? Which is like, we're doing this because we think we can manipulate the general public into thinking there's something really wrong here.
Yes.
And the truth is that this is just a continuation since they were wrong. And now it's even more important for them. They have to cover up the fact that that was a complete manufactured lie, arguably to cover for Biden to begin with when this whole thing started.
So there's many elements to this, and I have to kind of indulge in my own news story, if that's okay, guys, because, you know, I just – someone sent me about 3 or 4 links while we're on here, and it kind of plays into this. So the attempt to try to make Donald Trump a felon or a criminal ties into this 14th Amendment stuff. And, Jack, you and I have been dialoguing on this. Andrew, I think it's one of the most fun things we've done as a show, and it's gone 100%. Totally viral, and it's still ongoing. So – you know, the media says, oh, Charlie Kirk falsely pushes this thing that Donald Trump won't be on the ballot. Well, breaking as we are doing this, BostonGlobe.com, lawsuit to disqualify Trump filed in New Hampshire. So, Andrew, I mean, I could tell the story from my perspective. I think it'd be more fun, Andrew, for the audience to hear it from your perspective and tie this into the mugshot criminalization of Trump and the attempt to try to get Trump off the ballot and how our program played a role in shining a lot light on these cockroaches.
Well, it was... Yeah, to your first point, it's one of the most fun, enjoyable W's that we get to take as a show.
Yes.
That NBC called it, falsely suggested that New Hampshire was going to, you know, it was entertaining this. This is absolutely true. We can play the interview clips. Ryan, if you want to bring up Corky from his, I think he did a local radio interview in New Hampshire.
Quickie.
Where he said, I think this is real, you know. The Atlantic's talking about it. These Federalist Society judges or law scholars are talking about it. This is a real thing. I think we should absolutely look into it. So we have the clips. We play the clip. Obviously, NBC didn't bother to listen to that part of the show. And then you put up the number to the Secretary of State in New Hampshire. They start bombarding the call center. It gets so many calls, they turn it off. So then we put up the email. And then everybody starts emailing them. And that night, NBC says that Charlie Kirk show audience bombards the phones for the New Hampshire Secretary of State. This has all been proven true. As a matter of fact, we should email NBC and demand a retraction of that false word that they put in there. This is absolutely an open question. David French in New York Times floated it. The Atlantic, Laureen Powell Jobs owned Atlantic, mm-hmm. floating it. You've got this, Chicago, University of Chicago. Is it UPenn, the law review? This is like a 130-page law review. Yep. Yeah. I mean, this is when it comes to elite institutional, you know, Overton window expanding stuff, this is big time exhibit A, how they do it. And so you came up with the idea. You said, listen, we got to kill this thing in the crib. And I apologize. That's a terrible expression. We have to kill it before it can start. So we're going to make an example. We're going to name New Hampshire. We're going to go for it. And we're going to take it out before they can start this. And then, you know, to the credit of the show and to you, Charlie, and actually Tyler, Tyler, you set this up where we got to speak with Chris Eggers, who's the
New Hampshire GOP chair. Every single one of these stories. Our interview is quoted everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, so we asked the question. We said, listen, we're hearing that, and reports are stating that this is a thing. Then we want to hear from the source. And he said, listen, I spoke with the AG. I spoke with the Secretary of State. I have every confidence that all the 14 candidates that have applied to be on the ballot will be on the ballot. And so, listen, we responded to the reporting. We brought in a firsthand witness, and he said that he had confidence it was going to be that way. We said, we hope you're right. So we did our job, and our audience absolutely flooded the call lines. And that's the way this democracy works, this republic works. Pardon me, Joe.
Democracy, yes. And if anything, it's an oligarchy, the way it's going right now. Jack, Jack, please.
No, here's my comment, right? So the media's response to this they're not just calling you a liar. There's a reason they're calling you a liar, even though you can obviously point to various media outlets that have reported this. Even Politico basically said what you said. Yep. But here's the problem. It's because suddenly public outcry is not coming from an approved sort.
Yeah, that's right.
So the Charlie Kirk show, Turning Point USA, et cetera, the right, the larger right, we are not allowed to be sources of public outcry. only the media, only the government, only academia, only Anthony Fauci, these types, et cetera, are allowed to raise the alarm about, quote, what's going on in society. So you'll see this playbook run again and again and again, where if they want to inflame the public, they'll say police officers are disproportionately killing unarmed black men. And they'll just say it over and over and over, even though if you point to the statistics, it's just it just doesn't bear out. It's never borne out. But they'll say they'll you know, go back to saying, oh, it's lived experience. The people feel that they're targeted, et cetera. And then they'll kind of die on the vine. You hear these same refrains repeated over and over. Systemic racism. Joe Biden this week took a break from his never-ending vacation tour of vacation sites, where, by the way, he's going to Alaska for vacation on 9/11, apparently. The first president since 9/11 that hasn't actually gone to a site. But he took a break from his vacation tour, his whirlwind tour of vacations, to tell us and remind us that white supremacy is the number one threat in America. Yes, it's white supremacy that's going to shoot you on the streets of every single city in the United States. It's white supremacy that you have to look out for when you're going to your ATM in you know, Anacostia, D.C. It's white supremacy that's to blame for the U.S. dollar being what it is. And you can go down the list. And so it's very, very telling then that the response you see when somebody like a Charlie Kirk raises one of these issues, which then corresponds with public pressure, that they have to try to shut it down.
Yeah, and it's a non-approved source. And it's really interesting. I mean, The Independent, which is, Andrew, I don't know if there's a more reprehensible, you know, let's just say SEO sourced thing out there.
Right.
It's up there. Trump voters ambush.
Owned by ambush. Russians, by the way.
Oh, is it really owned by Russians?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they're not.
Yevgeny Lebedev.
So, no, I'm kidding. Trump voters ambush New Hampshire state office over false rumor he was removed from primary ballot. Ambush.
That's not at all true. By the way, this is what upsets me. If you actually listen to our story in our show, hour one Monday, because this was going around the internet over the weekend, so
all
we led with it on Monday.
Yep.
So we said, listen, we know, and we covered it the week before when it came out in the Atlantic, right? So it was like Law
we're
Review.
On top of this stuff. Most shows don't cover it like we do.
Law Review, Lawrence Tribe, David French, the sweep and force of the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We were following it all. Then Mr. Corky meets with the Secretary of State and says, I think you really need
Friday,
to look at this.
Scanlon.
On Friday.
Yep.
So we never said that he was going to get removed from the ballot. We said there's a move afoot in California and New Hampshire so far, and who knows where else, to unilaterally move to remove Trump from the ballot based on not even a conviction, just the fact that he's disqualified himself from aiding and abetting, you know, insurrectionists or whatever, right? So we said, listen, if this was our point, this was your point, you made it very clear, you tweeted it twice, I think. You said, if any secretary of state or any county official so much as sniffs at this harebrained legal theory that you can just unilaterally remove Trump from a ballot, then all the red state counties and red state secretary of states better get ready and mobilize and do the same and pull the traitor Joe Biden off the ballot, which I think is a completely smart and wise and reasonable reaction to them pulling at what Dershowitz says is an end of democracy type move. They will literally end democracy if they do that. And again, I know we're a representational republic,
but
you know what they mean.
I know what he's saying. And so, but this is a really important point here is that, and Tyler, I'm going to kind of put your thing, the RNC, on the spot because you've done a great job. Wouldn't it have been helpful if the RNC chairwoman would have taken questions from the audience? I want you to go back through this for our audience.
Yeah.
And if the RNC passed a resolution saying that it does not matter if you're an indicted or accused felon, you can become a party's nominee. I mean, that would have been a big statement, right?
I mean, that's what would be nice, right? Like right now, what should have happened, you know, first off, I wouldn't
walk us through the whole thing.
I wouldn't have held a debate without Trump.
Oh, I think that's really interesting. So walk us through your calculus there. I haven't heard that.
Like nobody's talking about that, but it's like I didn't attend the debate because
debate?
Number one, Fox was hosting, right? And Fox is stupid, right? Nobody likes Fox. The greater atmosphere of the Republican Party right now, 9 out of 10 Republican primary voters probably would say, I don't really watch Fox as much anymore. Or, I don't watch it at all anymore. I don't watch Fox anymore. Do you watch Fox anymore?
I am not on anymore, so I do not watch.
Yeah, we don't watch Fox anymore, you know, and they're driving themselves into their own hole. And there's some people we like that go on Fox and whatever, but we just don't watch Fox anymore.
Jesse's a good guy.
And then you look at the debate sponsors. The debate sponsors were in the back pocket of Mike Pence, right? So if you're showing why would you
the best climate change question in the history of Republican debates?
Yeah, so they set up between these two idiots. These two idiots were like,
the most important issue.
Climate change is like most people in Milwaukee, like, just think people are stupid. Like, they literally start drinking at the age of 6 in Milwaukee. They don't care about climate change. So, I mean, this isn't Flint, Michigan, right? So, like, you know, which again, that's a Democrat construct. So, you know, you look at this and you go, if these things are happening, first off, why are you not nimble enough to change that to make a environment where your top vote getter is going to come?
And your former president.
Why are you not being nimble enough? But then most importantly, like, what good does it do? So the bigger question, like, the RNC should be asking itself, and every Republican Party apparatus should be asking itself, whether it's statewide, countywide, local, your precinct, is what I'm doing helpful to getting people elected?
Yes.
The debate, if I ask you the question, is this helping elect our nominee? Well, our nominee right now, by about 50 points, is going to be Donald Trump, and he's not there. So how could that possibly be helpful?
So you're saying that the RNC should have said no debate.
So the RNC should have said no debate because of what you're saying, which is the message that we should already be driving at this point, which is, like, it doesn't matter what happens to anyone here. It doesn't matter what false narrative that the left pushes. By the way, Rana could be out on a microphone every single day saying, they lied about President Trump. They lied about President Trump. They lied about you. They lied about conservatives. They said that there was some kind of, like, background Russian collusion. You guys elected our base, our voters elected Donald Trump because Hillary Clinton's so bad. And Joe Biden's the same thing. And so, you know, we're not going to stand by and let anyone get indicted. They could indict Vivek for, you know, for his vegetarian ways. They could indict, like, we're vegan. Basically opening up the gates, vegan ways. It's worse, right? So, like, you know, we are basically opening the door saying that you can indict anyone for anything. And meanwhile, we're like, oh, the show must go on. We must have debates that don't matter. Like, it's so stupid. The whole thing is literally like a crazy, altered universe, you know, alternate reality type scenario.
Yeah. So if they would have canceled the debate and they could have done maybe a forum or whatever, I mean, it would have been a stronger message because, I mean, by the way, their ratings were cut in half. The ratings were in half of what they were back in 2016 for the first debate. And I can't imagine these upcoming debates are going to be as
popular. It's going to get worse.
Yeah. It's going to get worse. And so Jack.
I was going to say on that, you have to actually combine this with the last topic because it wasn't just that they were cut in half, but because the mugshot came out afterwards, nobody remembers.
Nobody even remembers.
It's totally been erased from everyone's front of mind space. You know, Andrew, you know how important front of mind is for in PR and marketing, et cetera. So the fact that you would have to sit here and think, look, we all do this, you know, professionally, whatever. And you'd have to actually sit there and think about, okay, what was that thing I liked at the debate again? Right, I remember. Because the mugshot just dominated everyone's cranial airspace for the next, you know, 72 hours in such a way that, look, this picture has been seen by, like, people who are living on an island that have never been contacted by the outside world. People are actually putting this picture into, no, it's true. They're putting this picture into glass bottles and throwing them into the ocean. And people on like Aborigines on tribal islands are seeing it.
Well, I mean, Jack, the mugshot on Twitter got 254.6 million views.
Are you serious? So, plus the Tucker interview got 250. So
it's the same people. There's a lot of overlap. But I mean, that is 20 times the amount of people who watch any part of the debate.
But not just the mugshot. It was the fact that Trump came back to Twitter.
All right. Yeah. So hold
on. That's the point. Oh. So there's 20 times more people viewed the mugshot because you're only going to remember one line from the debate, maybe two, right? So this is what we talk about all the time on social media with, like, the impact that you have, Jack, and the impact that Charlie has, the impact that Benny has, mm-hmm. and so many others, and Turning Point has, is like people only remember so much, right? Yes. And so these 3-minute segments that they have on Fox are so outdated. People are really remembering 30 seconds, but then they also want this long form element, right? Which is like they want to come to a long form to know that what they're hearing is actually true, but they're only going to take away the soundbite, the Rush Limbaugh style soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, hold on. So just.
And so sorry, Fox Tyler, is just doing it completely backwards and completely wrong. But you're right. I mean, you're 100% right, Jack. Like the only takeaway is the Trump picture, the Trump image, the Tucker interview. Nobody even remembers anything that was said in the Tucker interview. They just know it happened.
Yes. Andrew.
So, I mean, just to play a little bit of devil's advocate, though, it's, you know, The Hill reported yesterday Trump drops 6 points in post-debate GOP poll. I know that Trump put out a Truth Social saying it's wrong. He didn't drop at all. He went up. I mean, is there a potential, you know, scenario here where we're assuming the mugshot is good because we like it, but actually when you poll the general population, it is having a negative impact?
I mean, there's so many.
I don't think the mugshot will necessarily have that, but I'm curious to see how the trials play out. So if it looks as though the trials have this schedule, which is supposedly being set during the primary season, or even at any point during 2024, that if you have these trials in 2024, completely unprecedented, we've never had anything like this in our history, that will it have a segment of the population that is enthralled by it, that is turned off by it? Or, and I probably would lean more towards this, is that people would just kind of, with the exception of the one that's on TV, people would be checked out. I think people would be checked out because, like, go ask somebody on the street, you know, hey, what are the 4 Trump indictments, right? You know, I'd love to, that'd be a good, like Sav Hernandez, you know, man on the street video. I don't even know if anybody could name one of them.
Can you name one? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's curious too if they overreached with 4, right? If one would have been more powerful, right? If they would have just let Jack Smith do his thing and keep Fulton County out of it, keep Alvin Bragg out of it. We know they're coordinating. I mean, it's clear when you look at the timeline that there is a vast left-wing conspiracy to actually get Trump. And it's not even, you know, I'm not saying that.
To charge him with conspiracy.
Yeah, right? Which is hilarious. Yeah, Charlie tweeted out. We're going to subvert an election to charge somebody for subverting an election, right? So, like, the whole thing, the circular logic of it all is really weird. But I actually think you might be right, Jack, that because they've gone 4 deep, it almost starts glazing over people's heads, especially people that aren't news junkies like us that are following this like so closely. It's just this point, what else could you throw at him?
Do you guys even remember that he's indicted for Stormy Daniels payments? Do you remember that?
No.
That popped into my, I was doing an interview the other day and they were like, oh yeah, what's the first indictment? And I think about it for a second, Alvin Bragg. Oh yeah, Stormy Daniels payment. Like, wow. It's like the OG.
And who's in jail?
I was nostalgic. Yeah, exactly. I was like nostalgic.
And who's in jail?
Michael Avenatti.
Right. And again, this is like Charlie's point. The RNC chair, Mitch McConnell, like we have losers that don't talk about this stuff.
Yeah, do you think they don't care or is it just they're controlled or is it just...
Like, why aren't you every day being like, oh, an indictment? You mean like the Stormy Daniels thing that Michael Avenatti's now in jail?
Yes.
Like, you say that, like the general public of America is like, oh, yeah. Oh, you mean like this false accusation, like the Russian collusion that ended up being right about Biden and Ukraine that we're now investigating in Congress?
Well,
that's like
I was watching
30 seconds of like you've just convinced the entire American public.
Mm-hmm. I was watching a package, though, Tyler, like and this is how the mainstream news media, which, again, you have to think about like our old rhino kind of centrist Republicans are still consuming their news. They basically said, oh, and the Democrats are practically begging Republicans to start this impeachment inquiry. They think it'll backfire on them in the general election, right?
Whatever the media says, just do the opposite.
I think you're right. I mean, I think the electorate is looking for us to have a backbone, is looking for the Republican Party to have a backbone. I certainly know that's what we've been calling for. But that is the logic. They think that if they shut down the government on September 30th, and they think that if they actually move forward with impeaching Biden, that it's going to have this negative backlash from the population, from voters. But, you know, what's funny in that is that Democrats are not showing any such caution. They're going ahead and indicting Trump four times over. They don't care about any so-called backlash. They're calculating the complete opposite. So, you know, this is the state of things, sadly.
Okay, do we have an ad to share, Andrew? Which one is it?
Yep, Noble Gold.
Noble Gold Investments. I buy all of my gold from Noble Gold Investments. I encourage you guys to check out NobleGoldInvestments.com. Noble Gold Investments is a terrific way to be able to get your gold figured out. Hedge against the inevitable with gold. Is it your first time investing in gold? Well, you get a free coin on Noble Gold Investments. It's NobleGoldInvestments.com. When you open an account with Noble Gold Investments, you'll receive a free coin that you then can store at home or in your gold IRA. You guys could check out NobleGoldInvestments.com. These are some uncertain economic times. The gold and silver IRA company that Americans trust. There are some great testimonials at NobleGoldInvestments.com. We don't do investment advice here, so make sure you talk to the people at Noble Gold Investments and find out if it's the right solution for you, the right place for you to buy precious metals. It's a three-step process. You open an account, you sign a transfer document, and you buy precious metals. It's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Tell them Charlie Kirk sent you. The phone number is 877-646-5347. They are a wonderful company. Colin Plume does a great job. Buy all of your gold from NobleGoldInvestments.com. There's a lot of inflation happening right now, a lot of dollar bills, and the Fed agrees. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. Jack, COVID 2.0, 2024, the worst sequel ever. In fact, we should talk about the worst sequels ever made. Jack, is this the worst sequel ever?
I mean, is it the worst sequel ever? I mean, you look at some of the reboots, you look at some of the Star Wars stuff that's come out, man. There's been some clunkers. There's been some real, real bad ones. But I got to tell you, this might be the worst one for our country, for our kids, because, Charlie, they're already, and I know you and I have been having discussions offline about this pretty extensively, they're actually talking about bringing mask mandates back, not in the future, right now. So the mandates come back, the masks come back now. Yep. They do it for schools. Will they do it for airlines, universities, et cetera? Hospitals are already talking about it in some areas. This is all setting the stage for a potential future lockdown. And then, of course, will ultimately be used. And Tyler, I know you're included on this. Will be used to extend every single COVID-19 ballot measure that was passed emergency reasons.
More emergency, vote from home, right?
There's one goal that they have.
It'll be vote from home.
If they can make every vote like Yokava votes, which is like you can phone it in, you can fax it
in.
You can
text it in.
You can email it in. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. Everybody's registered, and then they can just manipulate the entire system like Yokava votes. And for those of you that are listening, Yokava that listen to the show, those are your overseas uniform officer votes.
Yep.
And so they're able to, the federal laws are in that they can basically vote like by like homing pigeon if they want to. They could tie a note to someone's like leg and like literally send it over if they want to. They can vote any way they want. And that's what the Democrats want. That's their wet dream. The Democrat wet dream is for every single human being that exists in America, citizen or non-citizen, to have the capacity to vote like literally but from their mobile phone.
Yep.
And that's what we have to prevent. And that's the reason why election integrity measures are so important, to talk about keeping the precinct, paper ballots, everything has to be there. And that's what like we ran the resolution. But like we talk about, but I have like the best analogy, I think.
Go ahead.
Can we play this video? Do we have the video of Jeb Bush?
Which one?
I put it in. Can we play the video of Jeb Bush?
Come here, Bush. Thank you all very much. The next president is going to be confronted with an unforeseen challenge. That's almost certain. It could be a pandemic, a major natural disaster, or an attack on our country. The question for South Carolinians and Americans is...
Yes. Pandemic. Yeah, that was on everybody's mind.
He said pandemic in 2016.
Yeah, that was on everyone's mind. So that might have been 2015, actually, when he said that. But yeah,
that was 2015, 2016, somewhere there. But I actually think that Democrats thought that their handling of a pandemic would be their version of 9/11. That's like a pretty crazy statement. But say that, you know, again. How 9/11.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Yeah, you're right.
9/11 brought together Americans. Brought together Americans by tragedy, but made everyone more conservative. I think they thought how they handle a pandemic.
Yeah, will make everyone more liberal.
Makes everybody come together more liberal.
But a lot of the European countries have, like Germany.
Yeah,
The holding party in Germany. I mean, there's been some ruffles in the parliamentary elections, but like they institutionally got stronger during COVID.
Totally. Yeah, they have actually proven that that's true because it makes sense. Health and Human Services versus like the military, right? Like it's just military is going to like if they have the microphone, they're going to make your country more conservative. You know, Dr. Fauci is going to make your country more liberal. So that was the mistake that Trump made in that regard, is giving a microphone to these people and not recognizing that. But my analogy in sequels is that Jaws, if Jaws is your 9/11, really warmly received by the entire country left and right, one of the best movies ever made, you know, almost 100% at the tomato meter. Jaws 2 is one of the worst sequels ever made, which is COVID, right? As far as like national emergencies go. No one ever remembers the worst movie ever made, which was the sequel to the sequel, which is...
Was it that bad?
Which is Jaws the Revenge, which has a 0% tomato meter and 15% audience. So it's one of the worst movies ever made. Wait,
which one was Jaws 3D? I remember Jaws 3D.
Jaws 3D was in the middle.
That was in the middle, right?
Yeah, that was the third one, yeah. Wow. But Jaws the Revenge is like heralded as like one of the worst movies ever made.
So the Revenge is actually the fourth one.
So you want to talk about like the analogy of like, you know, I was kind of laughing because I was actually watching a Reading Rainbow episode. I wish I could pull this clip. I sent the pictures to the family, right? So we were watching Reading Rainbow because you know how it makes all the sounds like do, 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 and like kids would read a book and go do, 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 and that's why I read this book. It's so great. You should go to the library, read it too. Do, do, do. One of the kids, it was a September. I don't know why I was on this today, but it was one of the kids were talking about September 11th. It must have run that long. And one of the kids goes, I think that even though September 11th was bad, it was also really good. And she was talking about how the country came together. So like after that, like that was the good part of September 11th.
People have made that point. You know, Glenn Beck had the whole 9/12 thing for a while.
But it was funny because this kid on Reading Rainbow was like, oh, September 11th was really bad, but it was also really good. This was like right after September 11th. But the whole point is this is like Jaws was a really good movie. Like September 11th, ultimately, it strengthened the country. The country was invariably more American after September 11th, regardless of what you think about the handling and the lead up and, you know, the conspiracy and everything else that's around it. But COVID definitely didn't make the country a better place as a society. COVID made us all more reclusive and more, you know, despising one another and cautious around. I still walk through a Walmart or something and hear someone cough. And even me, I'm like triggered by it because of COVID.
Yeah, we've been conditioned.
You almost died. You almost died, Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about
until ivermectin.
Died. Ivermectin. Yeah, saved.
Ivermectin saved Tyler's life.
It's a true story. True story, guys.
He was not.
Hey,
doing
you
well.
Want to know?
It wasn't a breathing issue. I wasn't like I was a fever. I had a fever for like 14 straight.
Yeah,
I was 12 straight days.
And the fever reducers like weren't working.
Ivermectin within 6 hours fixed it.
You want to know a weird COVID 2.0 tie-in? Was this UNC gunman shooting? I don't know if you guys saw this, but the guy's name is
mostly
Khalil
white Asian.
That's what they said.
That was the
Chiron. Really?
Yes, on Fox. It was mostly white Asian. That's not a joke, right, Jack?
Mostly white. Who actually said? I saw that Fox had the Chiron up, but I think they were quoting someone, and I couldn't find who they actually.
No, it's a real thing. They said mostly white Asian. Anyway, continue.
The police said that
Zimmerman tie-in to
exactly.
So to Lee Ki, he was pictured with his professor Zi Ji Yan. Just months before he shot him dead in college physics lab as Wuhan educated suspect is charged with first degree murder. So this is what's really interesting. I actually went on a deep dive when this story came out because if you know the timeline is kind of interesting. And Jack, you might know this actually a little bit better than I do. But like 2013 Obama and the NIH issued a moratorium on gain-of-function research. Well, yes. Guess who the leading gain-of-function researcher in the world was at the time? Ralph Baric at University of North Carolina. So he then goes to China and finds the Wuhan Institute of Virology and Peter Daszak and EcoHealth Alliance, and they partner with the Wuhan Institute. And so Baric even gave certain cultures and cells and all stuff to get this researcher, I think Xi or something, jump started in gain of function research using bat guano. Right?
By the way, Ralph Baric looks like the most unassuming like fall guy in every bad guy in every movie.
Yep.
Continue. We should get the picture. Ryan, get a picture.
He
of Ralph
looks
Baric.
Like the fall guy. He looks like he was cast central casting for like. The fall guy, like, oh, I don't know if I should be doing this. Yeah, like that kind of guy.
But, hey, I mean, where did everybody go? About, I thought we were supposed to meet here.
I know, right? How weird is it that as we're getting, like, these masks coming back, the vaccines, the Joe Biden requesting funding from Congress for a new booster, Karine Jean-Pierre going from the podium at the White House saying, hey, we're going to get these out by September 15th or whatever. And then in the middle of that, just this random shooting that exposed this weird connection between Wuhan Institute of Virology and UNC and Ralph Baric. This Wuhan-educated, academic goes on a shooting spree at UNC and kills his professor. It was like little tremor. It was like a harbinger of things to come, of like how Wuhan's still coming for us. There he is.
Well, you remember the one though that, and I'm just going to say it reminds me of this. That there was a guy by the name of Bing Liu, or I guess Liu Bing, because I'm reading on a BBC site. So he was a professor, assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, who was found dead on May of 2020 while he was doing research. He was a Chinese-born assistant researcher on coronavirus in the United States in early 2020, so May of 2020, mid to early 2020, but early in the pandemic, and all of a sudden is found killed in a murder-suicide in the Pittsburgh area, supposedly killed by this guy, Gu Hao, who was a software engineer that people said, oh, they barely even knew if he knew each other. And it's like, it's just eerily similar to me as to what's going on. And if I were to commit a thought crime, I would say, I'll just go put it this way. Do we really not think that the CCP doesn't have intelligence cells operating inside the United States? And don't we already know that the CCP has intelligence rings that have directly targeted these research centers? I mean, how many times does Natalie Winters have to tell us about it over at the war room, right? She's like, here's another one, here's another one, here's another one. The DOJ routinely prosecute these guys, part of the Thousand Talents program. So you have people that are associated with research into COVID suddenly killed in these random shootings, not once, but now twice.
Pretty convenient. Pretty convenient.
But of course,
especially as everything's coming back.
We don't commit those. That would be a thought crime for me to say there was ever some underlying. When I was at Gitmo, so we were never allowed to call them radical jihadis, but one of the guys I was deployed there with was saying, if only we could find some connection, some commonality, between these terrorists who believe in a certain ideology of which we were not allowed to discuss.
Let's talk about magnesium, guys. I think that if more people got their magnesium levels optimized, there would be less murder. Magnesium breakthrough is amazing. Look, lots of people have trouble falling asleep. Before I got serious about magnesium optimization, it was tough to go to sleep. But now I go out like a light. I'll tell you, it is out. And I get like 9 or 10 hours. I go to bed at 8, up at 6. It's a good life. And if that's not you, well, then you're missing out. Magnesium breakthrough is the type of magnesium you need. Now, without wonking out too much, magnesium is really good for you. I know a lot of people are saying, Charlie, I have trouble sleeping and all this. So listen carefully. Magnesium Breakthrough, unlike other magnesium supplements that might be giving you one or two forms of magnesium, Magnesium Breakthrough Help contains all 7 forms of magnesium designed to calm your mind, help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up super refreshed. Over 75% of the population is magnesium deficient. And what most people don't know is that even if they're taking a magnesium supplement, they're likely still deficient. So not only does Magnesium Breakthrough help you sleep better, it also calms your mind and allows you to feel grounded and relaxed during the day and especially before bed. In addition to experiencing relaxed sleep, Magnesium Breakthrough also helps improve digestion, support muscle recovery, and support healthy bone density. So do not miss out on the most relaxing sleep ever with Magnesium Breakthrough. For an exclusive offer, you guys can check out magbreakthrough.com/Kirk today. That is magbreakthrough.com/Kirk today. And receive incredible gifts with promo code Kirk10. For an exclusive offer, you guys can get the full spectrum, all natural supplement. In addition to relaxed sleep, you guys get all these other benefits. Most magnesium supplements are proven to be ineffective because they only contain one or two forms of magnesium. Magnesium Breakthrough contains all seven. The more you stock up, the more you save. Visit magbreakthrough.com/Kirk today. That is magbreakthrough.com/Kirk today. Magnesium Breakthrough is terrific. So terrific that you guys can get to sleep. Okay. Jack, let's talk Oliver Anthony. Let's play cut 67.
It's aggravating seeing people on conservative news try to identify with me like I'm one of them. It's aggravating seeing certain musicians and politicians act like we're buddies and act like we're fighting the same struggle here, like that we're trying to present the same message. You know, like, it was funny seeing my song in the... It was funny seeing it at the presidential debate. Because it's like, I wrote that song about those people, you know? So for them to have to sit there and listen to that, that cracks me up. But it was funny kind of seeing the response to it. Like, that song has nothing to do with Joe Biden, you know? It's a lot bigger than Joe Biden. That song is written about the people on that stage and a lot more too, not just them, but definitely them.
Okay. So Jack, you're a fan of noise, otherwise known as country music. What, how should
whoa,
we,
whoa, whoa. Andrew what, is the country music fan.
What should we make of Ginger Beard Man?
So he also put out another statement and I'll give you a piece of it just so, just to give him full clarity, because even after that video, which was very confusing to all the conservatives who had supported him, had promoted him, had paid money to his music, had traveled hours and hours of vast distances to go see him, to hear him disavowing conservatives, he then also wrote, "Corporate news is now trying to twist me into being a Biden supporter. That song has nothing to do with Joe Biden. It's a lot bigger than Joe Biden. I was referencing DeSantis's response to my song. He talks about needing to get Joe Biden out as if that would automatically solve all the problems. Biden is a big part of the issue. It runs much deeper. The song is about corporate-owned DC politicians on both sides." And he's basically saying it's a that includes corporate-owned conservative politicians on that stage as well as Biden. So when I read these comments, when I look at this entire thing, there's a couple pieces of it that I have to look at. You know, I'll give the guy the benefit of the doubt, and I would always do that to anybody. Look, you don't get a playbook, you don't get a handbook when you go viral, you become famous, notorious, whatever the word is. You know, look at the viral plane lady. You know, she kind of goes silent for a while, then starts doing this sort of limited rollout. You know, there's a new video of her, by the way, where she says she actually backs up what she said. And she goes, "Look, I can't tell you what I saw, but I was 100% getting off that plane." She just said it in a new video. I'm so into this. But Oliver Anthony, you know, this guy, I get it, right? Like, he doesn't want to come out and say, "Hey, man, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Republican," or "Hey, man, I'm a Democrat." I think he's probably just coming from a normal, common perspective and trying to say that, you know, he doesn't want to be claimed by one side or the other. And that's all well and good. But I do think at the same time, this has probably left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths because this was a rejection. And I think conservatives need to understand that this was a rejection. And this shows, by the way, that conservatives are still struggling to gain a cultural foothold in the country. And what do I mean by that? I mean that to be branded as a conservative, to be branded, or even worse, as a Republican, is still seen as negative in this country.
So do we have to continue to pretend the song is good?
I like the song. I was down with the song. I rock the song.
I think the whole thing is really, I'm just serious. What is the appeal of such anthem?
You mean the lyrical appeal or the musical appeal?
Both. I mean, it's basically repurposed populist nationalism with like basically some guy out of tune yelling into the sky.
I think anyone that attacks the district of corruption is ultimately helping our cause. It doesn't matter.
Symbols are important.
I actually think the way I interpreted his video was that he's actually raging against people like Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, Chris Christie, this neocon vibe, because he talks about caring about other lands as opposed to caring about America. And, you know, he's right. I mean, we've talked about these strange bedfellows that we sometimes run up against in modern politics, where this nationalist populist urge can kind of the movement can kind of end up creating alliances that matched not that long ago, right? So I think it's a really interesting. He's basically just saying, hey, all that bought and paid for stuff, I don't care if you're left or right, I don't like it. And that's basically the same message that we have on our show. So that's why I didn't take offense to it. But I can understand why some people, it was ambiguous enough, because he's ultimately not a political creature. His very political song took fire, and now he's sort of thrust in the spotlight for politics. But I don't know that he's versed at it. And I think that's a reflection that a lot of people just aren't that good at talking about politics.
So this was part of the debate, and I actually do want to push back on I won't come down him. I'm not going to come down the guy. But people have been saying, and you can tell that there's definitely sounds like some of these responses were crafted in, you know, they sound like PR spin, right? They said, and Andrew, you know PR spin, obviously, that, you know, it's like he's saying like, oh, you know, that line about, you know, kids in the street ain't got nothing to eat and 5'3" and buying your fudge rounds. And he goes, well, that was a contextualization of an attack on the welfare system as well as the state of the American food supply. That's what RFK Jr. actually said, because it's so much cheaper and easier to buy junk food than it is to buy healthy food. And I'm like, but that's not what the basic lyric of the song was. And if you listen to the basic lyrics of the song, it is definitely national populism. It's definitely bringing up issues that are clearly on the right side of the aisle. Maybe not your old school traditional conservatism, sure, but it's definitely a MAGA anthem, right? It is definitely playing into, to the point of where it even has a Jeffrey Epstein reference. Okay, so let's cut through the spin a little bit and point out this was very clearly a song that directly tracked with a lot of people that would consider themselves on the right or center right. And so to come out now and say, oh no, it has nothing to do with that, that's a stretch, man. That's a bit of a stretch. Like, I hope you reach before that stretch, brother.
If he's supposed to be this like super ballsy stretch guy, why doesn't he own it then? And then now he's doing like selfies with The Rock, and like The Rock, who's super left wing.
He did a selfie with The Rock? I didn't even see that.
Well, no, The Rock comes out and defends him, being like, so proud of you, man. Way to not make this political. So like, what is admirable about this whole thing? I'm honestly curious, because everybody, I've refused to get on the bandwagon. But I want someone to tell me why this guy's a hero.
I heard the theory that this is all about Waffle House.
The song?
Yeah. So Waffle House is actually, Richmond's the actual line where Waffle House stops.
And IHOP begins?
And IHOP begins. So
is it
I
really?
I just send you the map. It's actually below. Because somebody first came out and went like, oh, this was like a pseudo, because at first he had some accusations. I don't know if these like were transparent about the Mason-Dixon line, that this was like a super like Confederate driven song. And it really is not about that at all. It's about Waffle House.
Which were all for neo-Confederate conspiracy theories. Am I right?
Yeah, but Waffle House stops at Richmond. You cannot find a Waffle House past Richmond. There's one
way
on the way
south in the land
That's
of
it.
Waffles.
That's it.
So are we pro Waffle House?
I live in Arizona.
I like Waffle House personally, but
if you want to get
listen,
shot.
There's no Wawa's south of there in that Waffle House area either. Now that I look at it, Richmond is like the last Wawa until you get to Florida.
I still don't know what a Wawa is.
This is a Wawa
because you're
Waffle
not,
House
you're uncivilized.
No, but I
he couldn't just come out and say it. Why can't he just come out and say it's about Waffle House?
I appreciate him going after the people on stage. I totally like that, obviously. But, I mean, understand the dynamics of the country that you're in. He said, this is not about Biden. It's bigger than Biden. Okay, well.
Well, Charlie, let me ask you this question. So this was something that came, there's a lot of angles to this, but there was another thing that came up. And it was like, what do you think of people who say, oh, it's both sides? It's really both sides at fault here. My take on it was something along the lines of, look, I can understand where you say both parties are at fault. And if that's what you're trying to say, then fine. I'm with you, man. Like, because Republicans have been too pro-war for way too long and liberals have been, I mean, it's obvious, right? So yeah, we can do that. But if you're saying both sides as if there aren't, you know, differences between the people who are on the side of the populace and the people who are in D.C., then I would just have to call you out as saying, like,
yeah, I mean,
okay,
here's
what you're
my
trying
evidence.
To do is actually you're actually trying to dissuade people from taking action. You have a pacifying stand as opposed to what I would say, everything that Carly and Tyler and you guys do at Turning Point.
So, yeah, put the noise aside. Some of the lyrics are nicely put together. Some of it, I think, is just rather banal. But then look at this. The People magazine, Washington Post, they're all defending him. Every single one of them.
Yeah, it's a red flag.
People magazine claps back at politicians using his viral hit. I wrote this about those people. Washington Post. Oliver Anthony criticizes politicians after song played at GOP debate. LA Times. We love them, right? Oliver Anthony slams song being used in GOP debate. Newsweek. Oliver Anthony lashes out at troll after The Rock comments. He's now a darling. So I think, honestly, he is acting like MAGA, like a liberal in MAGA face. He's LARPing as a MAGA guy. Looks like it, sings the songs, but when it comes to actually stand up and say, you know what? Yeah, I wrote about all the people on the stage, but Trump wasn't on the stage. That would have been pretty powerful. And by the way, do you notice he never lands a glove on Biden? He just avoids it. So what am I, Jack, am I missing here? Because literally, I was the only one to not get on the bandwagon. Everyone's like, this guy's so great. And again, anything to do with country music, I immediately think is a waste of time. But this guy is now the darling of the regime media.
Well, and he's also linked up with the great Barry Weiss over at the Free Press. So the what is it? The ideological dark web, the intellectual dark web. They're having a resurgence. Yeah. So he's not one side or the other. He's some special third thing. And I'm sorry, like I just the whole IDW thing, it was cringe. From the moment it began, it was this absolute, instead of saying, you know, we're for what's pragmatic and we're for what works, they're like, we're going to take the best sides of both ideologies and it's going to work. And it's so cringe. It's actually more elitist than actually just being a straight up paid off oligarch. Like, at least with Hunter Biden and the Bidens, like, they're just criminal. Like, they're just straight up gangsters. Like, yeah, you can pay us and you won't be on the U.S. sanctions list. You could pay us and we'll go to war with Russia. You could pay us and we'll bend over and take whatever's coming from China. Fine. Like, you could at least, like, there's a code there. You know what I'm saying? But if you're one of these people that's like mealy mouth and probably, to use a perhaps biblical phrase, lukewarm, then you just want to spit it out of your mouth.
Yeah. So just final thing, New York Times, Rolling Stone, all of them are puff pieces right now, all at once saying Oliver Anthony, number one, Oliver Anthony. And you read the articles, all of them notice Oliver Anthony rejecting right wing calls to own his anthem. So he is the darling of the media. So good job, everybody. You guys decided to get a hero who hates you.
What you're breaking down, Charlie, is friend enemy distinction, right? So you're taking the cues from these areas, which they will tell you, right? They will tell if Norm Eisen tells you that Donald Trump shouldn't be on the ballot, the entire media will say, oh, wow, the highly respected Norm Eisen says that Trump shouldn't be on the ballot. We shall listen to that. But then Charlie Kirk says it. Now it's a conspiracy theory, right? Yep,
that's right.
Friend-enemy distinction. And you're using the media as an inverse lens, basically, to show you who friends and enemies are.
Yeah, and I actually personally didn't comment either way on the Oliver Anthony thing for a while, right, Andrew? We didn't cover it on the show. And he did this to himself because obviously he wants to be loved by these people. He has a yearn to be a celebrity and he's enjoying talking to The Rock and all that stuff. And
I mean, you know, something appealed, like I think it was Jack, you said something about this, but it's this, I do think that it shows the lack of sticking power still within the conservative cultural sort of movement side of things, right? I mean, we have this whole political ecosystem the Charlie Kirk Show, to War Room, to Glenn Beck, you know, that has some staying power. But when you're talking about real cultural moments, you still sort of want to, there is this draw, especially when you're younger, when you're in entertainment, to go outside of that ecosystem, even when that ecosystem gave you your success, because, you know, you don't want to be owned by anybody or whatever, I guess. But I think what it is he was confronted with this overnight sensation, the success, and all the articles at first, Charlie, were like, new right-wing anthem, yep. All this like yep. racist, whatever. And he they was probably like, whoa.
Him. Yep.
I don't want right. to be a mascot. I don't want to be a mascot. I'm gonna put a little distance here. And what he didn't realize is that the reactions from you guys on this show, I haven't really thought that hard about it, to be honest. But that the same success that he had, because people like those who listen to this show got behind him, he's going to alienate those people. So, you know, you can't split the baby in modern America with this stuff. You just simply can't. You got to pick your side. And he's going to learn that lesson, I think, the hard way. Because those left wingers are not going
to
buy his stuff.
Maybe that's unfair to put an artist in that situation. And I get that. But it's like, hey, man, it is what it is.
Listen, this is the J.D. Vance thing. Listen very carefully. J.D. Vance was a darling of the regime media for a year and a half when he wrote Hillbilly Elegy, okay? Because he was supposed to be the interlocutor, the ombudsman to white Appalachia, forgotten America, okay? J.D. Vance spoke at the Aspen Institute. He spoke everywhere until they realized what J.D. Vance actually believed. J.D. Vance had a spine. All of a sudden, then J.D. Vance became this huge, you know, villain, and you can't find a good article about J.D. Vance now for the last 2.5 years since he became a U.S. senator. With Oliver Anthony, they're going to try to use him or someone, or they'll just replace him. But well, this
Charlie,
is a big.
They gave him the movie, listen, too. Number one movie on Netflix.
Yeah, no, that's right. But just understand, this is what they're going to do with Oliver Anthony. They need a way to splinter the white working class base. And they're going to try to find somebody in music, in art, whatever it is. And they tried to do this with McConaughey, but he failed, okay? Where they can try to get a little bit of doubt into this new identity politic group that has really been built in the Trump MAGA movement as this solid monolith. Anything they can do to cast doubt in the white working class base, they try to do this with Yellowstone, Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
This is part of a strategy, because white working class America with a little bit of swing voters wins elections, right, Tyler?
Well, I mean, think about the real scary part of America. We see this all the time in the places that you go speak at. Half of the religiously affiliated in America don't vote. They're not even registered to vote, right? We do this. We're at churches, like
correct
evangelical churches. Think about who shows up to Country Thunder and these big, huge, you know, things.
A lot of teenage girls.
One of the most threatening things to the left that exists right now is that country music is the only thing that they don't completely control.
That's right.
So I don't know if you remember this whole thing that happened not that long ago, but guys just released an album. Kind of similar vibes as a guy named Zach Bryan. He's very, you know, very popular, especially with women right now. And remember, he got in that whole Travis Tritt. Remember, they got in the spat over the Dylan Mulvaney stuff. Do you guys remember this?
No.
So he came out and defended transgenderism, and they like, because they're like, I just thought you could live where and be wherever you want, like, yeah, all that thing. Because Travis.
Did his audience
came out
go after him?
A bunch of country music artists, including Travis, came out and said, "I'm taking Bud Light off my tours."
Got it.
And he was one of the only ones, and they like boosted the heck out of him.
Yeah, the whole regime media mobilized
around him, because they're like, "Oh my gosh, look at this! This is a unique opportunity." And then he retreated. And he's like, "I got to get the heck out of here. I can't keep talking about this. I'm on tour, and people are going to hate me if I defend Dylan Mulvaney, right?" And so he disappeared immediately after that, because he's like, "This is stupid for me." But this guy is getting he's a nobody that's getting totally hijacked by
Oliver Anthony,
by this whole thing, because they want to do anything that they possibly can to hijack the churches and hijack country music, because
they can even splinter a little bit,
You're talking about
So Jack, what is HickLib? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the HickLib is a phenomenon. We've been covering this on Human Events for a while now. Really started back in February with. Yes, it started with Yellowstone and basically people realizing that all of these sort of left-wing narratives were being laundered to the right and laundered to a conservative audience. through Yellowstone. And the writer of Yellowstone, Taylor Sheridan, specifically said he was going to do it, right? So he came out in an interview, I think it was Variety or one of the trades, and said, yeah, this is what I'm doing. And he's inserting characters like the one guy has an Indian wife and she's always going off about Indian genocide. Right. And Andrew, our resident Nevadan, knows about this. He's like, we've chatted about this. Like, fast forward. Monica, gosh. I think her name is.
Are you a big Yellowstone fan, Andrew?
Me and my wife watched it. Yeah. Yeah. But I will tell you that my family got into a dispute in like the 1960s with Native Americans. They like left the land in 1870 or whatever as settlers were coming in. So the settlers took the land, happened to be my family. They settled it. They made it profitable and all of this stuff. And then in the 1960s, the Indians came back and sued under some technicality. And it got all the way up to like U.S. Congress. This is like a big story in the 60s. Senator McCarran and all this stuff. Anyways, McCarran ends up saying to the family and others like them in Nevada, hey, I'm going to fight to make sure that you guys don't lose your land. Well, Senator McCarran died. We had McCarran Airport in, before it got renamed. What is it? Harry Reid now or whatever it is. Anyway, so I mean, this was a big deal, and I can tell you that these disputes with the Native Americans and land and stuff, it's real in the West. And for them to make this character so woke, so annoying, so cringeworthy in this story is exactly what Jack's talking about, where it's like you've got all these conservatives watching this show and then they inject this woke crap. And then, like, there's another sequel. What is it? Is it 1923 or whatever?
Two
sequels. And then there's
1883 was excellent.
Yeah, well, that was fine, except for the fact that
I don't watch any of this stuff.
Oh, you gotta watch 1883. 1883 has Sam Elliott in it.
Well, so Charlie, the point is, these are huge psyop. Massive, millions and millions of conservatives are watching them.
Really?
And they're getting injected with this stuff that it's basically saying to conservatives, like, hey, you like this show? Rah, 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 Americana.
How many streaming passwords do you guys have? I mean, I don't even know where I'd find these shows.
I don't have any. I have zero. But
where do you find them?
Your wife.
That we can't talk about that right now. No. I think it's on Paramount.
So let me go into the Paramount. It's even worse Amazon. Because there's an even worse situation that we found, because it turns out that these hicklibs, there's also YouTubers that are hicklibs, and many of which are just these sort of these made up personas. You see a lot of this in like the gun community, like they target the Second Amendment types. And so there was an article a couple years ago in the LA Times, and I posted this link a while back, and people are saying this isn't true. There's no way. Listen to this. The idea began as a bait and switch. Give people searching online for terms like join Oath Keepers or quote bomb instructions, some content that seemed to fit their request, but instead offered an alternative to extremism. Keep in mind, this is whatever Google defines as extremism, YouTube. A method developed by a partnership of a British firm called Moonshot CVE is called the Redirect. Through partnerships with Google, as well as the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, everyone's favorite nonprofit, totally unbiased, is to dissuade users from pursuing conspiracies and violent rhetoric by luring them with advertisements to other sites. In an internet figure known as Bo of the Fifth Column, Moonshot thought that it had found the perfect person to redirect online users to. Broadcasting under a bare light bulb from a shed packed with camping gear, Bo appeared as a Southern gun owner with progressive views. A calming demeanor, an unkempt beard, a military aura, and a huge YouTube following. And yet his progressive views were then pushed via YouTube, again, in partnership with the ADL, to steer gun owners, Southerners, conservatives towards progressive views. And it turns out this guy is like a totally convicted felon. He has like a fake accent. There's like all sorts of like just total insanity behind the guy. But the point is that this whole thing actually started on YouTube as a psyop with essentially Google, the ADL, and a British nonprofit working together to steer people towards what we call the hicklib content.
It's a massive psyop. We have That's to wrap crazy. This soon, guys, because I know people have stuff to get to. So yes. We deep web reveal, guys. Let's lean in.
CBD distillery.
Yeah, that's not me.
All right. Well, we'll revisit. We'll revisit.
Yeah. Okay. We will do Trump history. Jack, many people do not know. Donald Trump taught Socrates everything he knew.
So what's now being revealed through a Twitter account as well as a Telegram page called Trump History is the true history of Donald Trump, his background and his historic accomplishments, achievements, and contributions to the growth of human society. Now, the media constantly overlooks these things. For example, in this case, we have, I believe we have the image right here of Donald Trump when he was teaching Western philosophy. Do we have that photo, guys?
Yes. Socrates learned everything.
This is a separate one. That was Donald Trump teaching domestic terrorism or something. I'm not sure what that was. So there's Donald Trump teaching his student Socrates, who would then go on to teach Plato, taught Aristotle, who taught Alexander the Great, all about morality and Western philosophy. There's images that are now being revealed of temples and statues, carvings to Donald Trump that were made in ancient Egypt. Radiocarbon dating suggests these monuments roughly 4,500 years old. Donald Trump traveling through space and time to collect the seven Dragon Balls. Donald Trump and Elon Musk inventing the Tesla Roadster in the 1900s. I mean, the list goes on. And so
put them
through
up.
Trump
put,
history.
Put them up, Ryan.
Through Trump history, we really need to be able
there,
to show
there, there
you
there's
Donald
Trump.
Trump
rescuing children in
this
Mexico.
This is the original Sound of Freedom, by the way.
Hurricane Hillary. Next one. This is Donald Trump walking in Selma with Martin Luther King. Now, thanks to AI, we're able to have all these amazing images, Jack. In fact,
people need to understand they're not AI created. These are just revealed to us through AI.
Many people do not know Donald Trump led Julius Caesar and his legion across the Rubicon. That would begin a civil war and signaled the end of the Roman Republic.
He was like, right here, Jules. It's thin. It's
that's it right
there. Here, Jules.
There's Donald Trump executing the Louisiana Purchase with Napoleon Bonaparte.
He said, give him hell, Napoleon. Take the money.
Give him hell. Give him hell. Best deal ever.
There's honest question. Why do you guys like these?
Because they're hilarious. Because they're so
Andrew, we're revealing what's been hidden from us from our own history, and now finally we're able to bring it to the people, much like Prometheus bringing fire from the gods.
I think they're absolutely hilarious because
Donald Trump inventing the wheel.
Hey, look, if Indiana Jones can go back in time and do this, then Donald Trump sure can.
Going back in time. He was actually alive during all these times.
Oh yeah,
he was actually there.
The podcast audience is have no idea what we're talking about. Right now. You got to watch this one, folks.
What's
Donald
that
Trump teaching Michael Jackson how to dance?
Yeah, Michael Jackson. That's all I mean.
How to moonwalk specifically. Well, even though Michael Jackson is, as you can see here, depicted in his smooth criminal attire. There's the Rubicon.
There's the Caesar one. Yeah.
Right here, Jules. This is where it's shallow.
By the way, this one kind of looks like that one looks like Putin to me. I have to say.
No, that's Captain America.
He's actually Captain America.
Well, it's the inverse of Putin.
He's crazy.
Completely culturally illiterate. This is
which one's this?
I think this is the Bin Laden raid.
Bin Laden, yeah, it's gotta be Bin Laden.
Oh, this one's Bin Laden raid. With John Wayne. Oh, I'm looking at it.
I personally can't get enough of them. I think they're absolutely hilarious.
Did AI just make all these in like 2 seconds?
Yeah.
No, AI is revealing them. It's opening a portal in space-time and actually showing it to us. There's President Trump and John Wayne based all of his movies on.
How many untrue things do you think you see a day?
I mean, AI has
created.
The postmodernist would say it's not, if you could see it, it's not untrue.
It's true.
I mean, all right. I was going to say.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine.
No, it's fine. I'm a little lost, but
I still think
this, Jack.
I still think that the Super Saiyan
Dragon Ball Z,
the Dragon Ball, the Super Saiyan Trump. It just made me think. We were texting today about this with Blake. I would love a Trump branded Street Fighter. I think
that's
it would
Trump
sell
at the 1936 Olympic. By the way, giving it to Hitler right in Munich.
I think it's hilarious.
This is an ancient cave drawing that was discovered Neolithic France. They said, you know they say the Homo sapiens interbred with the Neanderthals. Actually, that was Donald Trump, as a matter of fact, which means that, of course, we are all descended from Donald Trump.
Like Donald Trump was the white
European. They discovered him in Petra. That's right.
From Petra, yes, the original Petra.
Let's put Moses up. There's a good Moses one.
The Moses one is Moses.
The best. Oh, the Moses one.
With
is
Trump's
really
beard.
There's Trump with the original draft of the Torah.
Just working on it. Just you know, hashing some stuff out.
He's just going through Deuteronomy. No, you got to change this. You know, instead.
He's writing that right to left.
You know what's funny, though? Right. In all seriousness, this is what wins election. It is. There's power in this stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
All right,
guys. That's the Deep Web Reveal. Thank you guys for watching. As always, email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Keep committing thought crimes. God bless and see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com to get in the running to win a signed copy of my book, The College Scam. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Think identity theft won't happen to you? Think again. There's a new victim every 3 seconds in the U.S., over 15 million this year alone, and many don't even know they're victims. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you could miss, even when you monitor your credit. If your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft, but everyone can save up to 25% their first year at LifeLock.com/Salem. Identity theft protection starts here.